4 chapters, 85 verses is all there are, but it's a wealth of information in the book of Ruth. I do want to look, let's look before we get started, let's read, and let's find a good stopping point, and we'll go from there. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still in the book called Index, just close your Bible and listen. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. And the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women, a woman, was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, my sisters-in-law are gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried also. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that there was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about. They said, is this Naomi? She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'd help our hearts tonight. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Ruth, let me give you that. I know that was a long reading, but maybe some of you probably needed to catch up on your weekly Bible reading. And only 22 verses right there in that first chapter. Only 4 chapters in the whole book of Ruth. But let me say this in the way of introduction. The book of Ruth is a very small book, but it has a whole lot of information there. Let me give you, for instance, the book of Joshua is the 6th book in the Old Testament, in the sixth book in the whole Bible. Six is the number of man in numerology. Joshua is the first book with a man's name attached to it. Now you say, well, preacher, that's a coincidence. Well, I doubt it. But Joshua being the sixth book, and Ruth is the eighth book. Eight in the Bible is the number for new beginning. Ruth has a new beginning. She is in Moab, and she has a new beginning. Only two books in the whole Bible that have a woman's name. Let me give them to you. Ruth. And Ruth is a Gentile who marries a Jew. It's a picture of the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. We were a Gentile. We were outcast. We were in the land of Moab. And we came, and Jesus Christ, Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, redeemed us from our present state and brought us into the house of blessing. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. And we are married. We're married to Christ, the bride of Christ. Number two, the book of Esther. Esther is the woman Ruth is a Gentile who married a Jew. Esther is a Jew who married and came into a Gentile. You say, preacher, what in the world are we talking about? Ruth is a picture and a type of the church, the bride of Christ. Esther is where a Gentile queen got kicked out and a Jewish king, a queen, got brought back in. That is a picture of the bride of God Almighty, the nation of Israel, coming back in at the end of time. These two books, one of them pictures us, the bride of Christ. The other one pictures the bride of God, the nation of Israel, coming back into the land and back into power as they're brought back in. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let me give you this by way of introduction. Ruth is placed between Judges. Don't miss this. Judges and 1 Samuel. Watch this. You're going to love it. When I get done saying this, you'll throw a song book up in there. Tear the light fixtures down. The book of Judges is a picture of the type of the nation of Israel declining. Y'all with me? The book of Samuel is a picture of the nation of Israel coming back into a Jewish kingdom. What is the book in between Israel declining and Israel coming back into a Jewish kingdom? There's a little book of Ruth where God sandwiches in between Judges and Samuel. The church of the living God, the bride of Jesus Christ. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. I wouldn't get excited either. Ruth was a Gentile, married a Jew. Esther was a Jew who married a Gentile. Esther begins with a feast and ends with a funeral. Ruth begins with a funeral and ends with a feast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're headed to a feast. We're headed to the marriage supper of the Lamb with the Christ, the bridegroom. The importance. Watch this. We may not get very far, but here's some things in this book. Ruth. Take your Bible. All right. Turn to chapter 4, Ruth, real quick. Introduction. Ruth, chapter 4, verse 21. Ruth, chapter 4, verse 21, last two verses. And Salmon beget Boaz. And Boaz beget Obed. And Obed beget Jesse. Y'all know who Jesse was? Jesse beget King David.
Right.
Folks, Ruth. This woman, Ruth, from Moab, from a no place. She was a nobody.
Yeah.
Became the great grandmother of King David. Why? because of a kinsman redeemer that took her out of the land of Moab and brought her in, grafted her in, made her somebody who was a nobody. And now the somebody. You say, preacher, I don't believe it. Take your Bible and look at Matthew real quick. Matthew. Oh, hurry, hurry, hurry. Matthew. And then we're going back to Ruth. Matthew. Oh, let's see. Look about. Well, look at verse 1. That's a good place. Look at verse 1. The book of the generation of who? Y'all think that's pretty important? Y'all think it's pretty important to be in the genealogy line, the messianic line of Jesus Christ? Pretty important, ain't it? The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham beget Isaac. Isaac beget Jacob. Jacob beget Judas and his brethren. Judas beget Phares and Zaar of Tamar. And Phares beget Eshram, and Eshram beget Aram. And Aram beget Abinadad. And Abinadad beget Nathan, and Nathan beget Salmon. And Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz beget Obed of... And Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David the who? Hallelujah. How in the world did Ruth get her name and the genealogy? She got married into it. You know how you got in? You got married into it. You was a nobody. This ain't a Joel Osteen sermon. I'm telling you. You were a nobody. You were from a land of nowhere. But somebody from somewhere who was somebody came to a place of nowhere and a place of a bunch of nobodies and brought them into the family by marriage. That's the book of Ruth. She got her name. Now, I don't have time to deal with it. I might deal with this a little bit during Christmas times coming up. But there's four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Tamar, which is a prostitute. Everybody know what that is. Okay? Bad thing. Okay? Prostitute. Her name's in there. Ruth's name is in there. Rahab the harlot. Do I need to explain that? On a Sunday night. Okay. Rahab the harlot. Her name's in there. And Bathsheba. Now, her name's not in there, but it says the wife of Urias in the verse 6. David, who had been the wife of Urias. That's four different women got their name in the genealogy. Four low down. Four just back. Why are they all women? Because we picture the bride. Yeah. Ladies, don't get excited. It's not a bad thing. It's a picture of the bride coming in and getting your name. Listen, folks, when I got saved, you heard it during the Bible conference. Brother Sam Gibb told about it just a few minutes. When I got saved, Jesus Christ took the pen, dipped it in His red blood, wrote my name down in the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. A nobody got in. A nowhere got in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm somebody in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now go back to the book of Ruth. Back to the book of Ruth. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying the introduction. The author of the book of Ruth, I don't have any idea. I don't know anybody that does. Somebody said Samuel may have wrote it. I don't know. Don't make any difference. One thing I do know, God wrote it. I don't know who was holding the pen, but I know Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, all of them holding the pen on whoever. So that's the important thing. The important thing is not who was holding the pen. The important thing is who was over the shoulder holding the hand that was holding the pen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The author of the book? Don't know. The background of the book sandwiched in between Judges and 1 Samuel. I told about that. Now look here. And verse number 1. And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now, folks, listen. Here's the setting of the story. Moab, I don't have time really on a Sunday night. We have children in here, but let me tell you, Moab, if you want to do a little studying on it, you know where the city of Moab come from? How many know where the city of Moab came from? Well, it's in Genesis 19, about verse number 37. You'll need to read it sometime, where Lot and his two daughters came out of Sodom. The wife got turned into a pillar of salt. They thought they were the only ones in the world, and the only way to carry on is have seed and have children. Y'all, everybody with me now? One of his daughters, Lot, got the Moabites. Bad place. Wicked place. You don't want to be from that place. And this man, this Jewish man, took his family, left Bethlehem, Judah. You say, Bethlehem, Judah? What's Bethlehem, Judah? Bethlehem means the house of bread. The book of Deuteronomy, God tells them, don't you leave the land. Don't you leave that land. Don't you go unto the Moabites. Don't you leave that land. You trust the Lord and He'll take care of you. Psalm 37, trust the Lord, He'll take care of you. Stay in the land. Stay put in the house of bread. Stay put in the house of blessing. Went to sojourn. You know what that means? They went to sojourn. That means tour. Just walk around a little bit. Now stay with me. Walk around a little bit. Sojourn in the land of Moab. Watch. You say, preacher, if it ain't going to hurt if they just go to visit and come back. Watch. Verse 2, and the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and what? Once you go, you just looking around. The problem is continuing there. You know how long they stayed there? I ain't got time to show you right now. You know how long they stayed there? 10 years. A man raised his family out of the house of blessing for 10 years. Sounds like Lot raising his family in a place of Sodom and Gomorrah. You said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, families, listen to me real good. It's very, very, very important that you raise your family in the house of blessing, in the house of bread, in the house where God's blessing. Raise them in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Don't leave the house of blessing. You say, preacher, we're just going to sojourn. No, you won't sojourn. You might sojourn for a day or two, but it'll take you 10 years to get back. It'll take you 10 years to get back. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, God will judge His people. Psalm 37 is what I was trying to read a while ago. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Don't you leave. Don't leave the land. I know it's a famine. You know why the famine was there? It was chastisement against the nation of Israel for not obeying God. What are you supposed to do during chastisement? Hey, preacher, what do you expect them to do? It's famine. What are you supposed to expect them to do? God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Listen, folks, this is easy to preach, hard to live by, but I'd rather be in the house of blessing and starving than full and be out of the will of God. Amen. And Elimelech said, oh, I'm going to take my family and let's go down there. We've heard there's some bread down there. We're going to go down there. Watch. Verse number 3. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. Verse 4. It gets worse. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Verse 4. And they took them wives of the women of... He had rather raise his family in a God-forsaken place. His boys married ungodly women. That's why it's important to marry safe. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't get married and yoke up with unbelievers and be unequally yoked together. And later on down the road, you got problems. You knew you was going to have problems on the beginning because both of you wasn't in the same boat together.
Right.
One of you want to go to church, one of you don't. Well, you knew that was going to happen. Don't come to me, Brother Jerry, we need to talk to you. I mean, you knew he was lost when you started dating him. You knew she was lost when you started dating her. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, that's old fashioned. No, that's Bible. That ain't old fashioned. That's Bible. Peter, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save you a lot of problem down the road. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Marry somebody that's saved. Marry somebody that's in church. Marry somebody that believes the Bible. Marry somebody that's going to the same place you're going.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, I didn't say just because you both married, you ain't going to have no problems. Lord mercy. I mean, there's three rings. You got the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the supper ring. Hallelujah. I mean, come on. Make sure we get Nathan saying amen on that right there. God says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. In other words, you say, preacher, what I'm supposed to do when I get in a place like that? God, I'm right here. I'm right where you want me to be. I'm right in your place. You feed me. God, I'm trusting in you. You take care of it. That's what Elimelech should have done. But instead, he jumped the gun, took his family into a place that he ought not took his family. His boys wound up marrying women of that day. Amen. You say, oh, blah, 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 blah. But you just said Ruth. I understand. Because why? Romans 8:28 is always in effect. If we form, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them are called according to His purpose. That's why when you get to going too fast, you suck your tongue down your windpipe. All things work together for good. Them love God. Naomi. Elimelech. Let me say this. Try to find a spot here. Here's the outline for the book of Ruth. Chapter number 1, you find Ruth returning. Chapter number 2, you find Ruth reaping. Chapter number 3, you find Ruth resting. And chapter number 4, you find Ruth rewarded. And there's the outline of the book of Ruth. Number 1, Ruth returning. Number 2, Ruth reaping. Number 3, Ruth resting. And number 4, Ruth rewarded. Now, look at, you say, preacher, what about this chastisement? Hey, look at Hebrews 12 real quick. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. That's in the New Testament. Hebrews 12, real quick. Lord, if you had a daddy like mine, you ought to know this one by heart. Son, sit on the edge of the bed. Let me preach to you before I'll beat the tar out of you. You know, do one or the other. You know, either preach or beat. Don't do both. Well, set me on the edge of the bed. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 6. For whom the Lord, what? He does what? And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Look at there. That's what it says. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with what? Hey, have y'all ever got a whooping from the Lord? Let me see your hand. You got a whooping from the Lord. Guess what? That is a good thing. Because that means you belong to Him. You know how? Now this, and I always joke about it, and I'm not really trying to joke about it right now, but I'm telling you, my dad, and we've all said it. My mom, all they say, not my mom too much, because she, we did this, you know. We sort of did the square dancing thing. But Daddy wanted you to lay across the bed so you couldn't get... You know, if Mom would stand you up, and I'm trying to teach these kids something, and you can watch out of the corner of your eye like this, you know when to do this. And it sort of... It takes a little off of it. But Dad, if you stood up, he said, look at that dot on that wall. And I couldn't see when he was... I was trying to do it like this. Don't you take that dot off. Don't you take your eyes off that wall. And you're like this. You don't know when to do this. I mean, it's coming. Or he'd say, lay across the bed, and you can't go nowhere. Now, people watching on the internet right now, they're going, oh, that's child abuse. Oh, well, hey, it didn't hurt. Well, it did hurt, but I mean, hey. And my dad would say this, and all serious, I'm not trying to be funny, but we all say it. And he would say this. He said, son, when you get children of your own, you'll understand. Why? Because there's a love there. Well, he can't love you if he's beating the tar out of you. That's why he's doing it, because he does love. Why did God send a famine in the book of Ruth? Because he loved those people, and he was trying to get them to practice 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn the wicked way, then we'll hear from heaven. Manna will come from heaven. I'll heal their land, forgive their sins, and so on and so forth. But they didn't want to practice that, so God disciplines, chastens those that he loves. And if he loves you, and listen, kids, if your parents let you get away with everything, listen, they don't love you like they ought to. They love you when they discipline you. So we ought to take 15 minutes and whoop every kid in here. Because we know they've missed some along the way. Me included. I've missed some. Now watch this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I say all that, some of that stuff to be funny, but in the other sense, there's some truth there. Thank you. What is that? Oh, okay, all right. Had to double check. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And look at verse 29. Go 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Talking about the Lord's Supper. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know what Mahlon, you know the boy that Elimelech and Ruth had? One of their boys' names was Mahlon. His name means sickly. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be what? But when we are judged, we are what? Chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Folks, it's very important that you do right, raise your family in the house of blessing, under the house. I'm not talking about necessarily the church. I'm talking about in the house of blessing. Raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Be the spiritual leader of your home and raise them up right. Raise them in church. Amen. No matter, I don't want to go. Listen, we make them go to school. We make them take a bath. And then we ask them if they want to come to church. Something wrong with that. Amen. We won't go there, but 1 Corinthians 5:5, there was a fella doing some bad things in the church there at Corinth. And Paul said to deliver them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. Why? Hey, so you won't be condemned with the world? God take you out early. The book of Ruth, watch. Hang on. Ruth, Naomi lost her husband. They're in Moab. Y'all with me? I'm over here in Moab. Over here by the piano. Over in Moab. All right. Elimelech, gone. Two sons, gone. Dead. Three funerals. Naomi, Ruth, and Orpha. Them three. Naomi, two daughter-in-laws, said, you know what? Let's go back to the Bethlehem or the place of bread. Watch. Stay with me. Hang on. Stay with me. We're finna go. Hang on. Going. She turns around and goes, you know what? Won't y'all go on back to y'all's gods? Go on down there. Orpha said, okay. She goes on back. Watch. Have y'all seen Orpha since? Is Orpha's name in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Matthew 1. Y'all seen Orpha since? Ever heard from her since? Nope. You know the one that got named in the Bible? Is the one that went and she said, Naomi, I ain't going back to that place. I've seen what your God can do. I'm staying with you. Wherever you die, I'm a dying. Wherever you go to church, I'm going to church. Whoever your God is, going to be my God. And she winds up marrying Boaz, a Jew, driving a John Deere tractor. Say amen. And he looked over and said, whoo, who is that? That's in there. We'll get to it next week. All right, let me finish right here. When she got back, she blamed God for her troubles. Naomi preaches a good 3-point sermon called The Testimony of the Backslidden Heart. She said, I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. It's all God's fault. It ain't my fault. It's all God's fault. God took my husband. God took my two boys. It's all God's fault. I left full. No, you didn't. The reason you left, because there was a famine in the land. There's no way you could left full. I left full. God brought me back empty. The Almighty hath afflicted me. All right, here it is. She blamed God. Her bitterness was based upon what God had done to her and not of any fault of her and her families. Folks, we got to take responsibility. The reason God, it's just amazing. I'm done. Where did Ruth go? Hang on. All right, turn Ruth real quick. I'm done. Almost. Ruth, the last verse of chapter 1. Look. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. Y'all remember, I told you all things work together for good, them of God, them called according to His purpose. Y'all remember that? This is probably a coincidence. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of what? Don't you think God knew that? God's like, I didn't know that. That just a coincidence. All things work together for good. Them love God. God chasing them to get them back. Now, don't go out and say, well, Brother Jeremy says every time he gets sick or every time he dies in a family, that's the God judge. No. Didn't say that. Sometimes God will resort to that. That's the last resort. Sometimes He'll chasten you. And if you don't endure chastening, sometimes He'll have to do something worse. Amen. Here's the main thing. I'm just glad I'm in. I'm glad my name is in the book of life. It's recorded there in the book, the generation of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I got brought in by a Jew. Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's bow our heads together. Mark, won't you come piano? Just play something. You may want to come pray about something. Lord, dealt with your heart about something tonight. Through the book of Ruth.
harp begin to play. We'll just take just a minute. I know you can pray there in your seat. I want to be in the center of God's will, don't you? I want to be in the center of what He wants us to do. I don't want to leave the house of blessing. Been good to be in the house of the Lord today.